10 years ago, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 212. I am GPD, and I am here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we have Wombat in New York City. No, not New York City.
You're Fort Gay? What?
Fort Gay, West Virginia. Let me hear it.
That's funny.
No, Wombat is in Long Island. You're not even in New York City.
Well, I'm in New York State, if that counts for anything.
Right. Are you in Hymietown?
I am in Hymietown. Yes.
Did Jesse Jackson also call it New York City,
or was I think it was just Hymietown.
Just Hymietown. Okay, that's.
And then there's the great Eddie Murphy parody.
I forgot that one, but
oh, it's good. It's probably on YouTube. It's Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live as Jesse Jackson.
Right.
Singing the song Hymietown. Don't let me down, Hymietown.
And we also have Shipwreck, who is in the opposite of Hymietown.
Yes, I am in Ohio. We don't even have your kind here.
No, you do in Shaker Heights, I think you do.
Okay. I think we have like Amish people and stuff.
I see. Same, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a big show for you today. A lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the new Mass Effect 2 DLC and the Mafia 2 DLC. I finished one of those two things. Shipwreck is going to talk about Valkyria Chronicles 2.
You can't even pronounce it. Oh, you stuck it up. Your teaser's blown.
You need to spell that out phonetically for me.
That teaser's blown like a shofar.
Right.
Oh, Takiya. Yes. Happy New Year. Whatever that is for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why do you celebrate it on a different day every year? I looked at calendar today.
We got it at a discount.
It's cheaper if you move it or if you move the day around every year. Just the way it works out. It's because it's based on the Israeli calendar, the Jewish calendar, right?
And yes.
I guess there's a different number of days in it, so it doesn't fall on the same day. I don't know. I'm guessing. It sounds good, though.
It does. I bought it. So,
you bought it?
You
okay, you're in. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it was Rosh Hashanah, but somebody called me yesterday.
Are there leap days?
Now you're way above our pay grade here. We don't.
I dropped out of Hebrew school at 13. So
did I. Yeah. When I got bar mitzvah, they're like, "Well, you can feel free. You can stay on and what'd they call that? Confirmation, maybe?
Yeah. We have that too. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you can stay on and go to more school that you don't care about. And I was like, no.
Now, was that 13 in human years or human 13 years. In Jewish years?
Dog years. No, it's regular when you're 13 years old, you get bar mitzvahed, and that's when you decide whether you're going to continue your Jew education. And I made that decision probably long before I was 13.
Yeah, I think we all, most people do.
I knew a couple people that stayed on in my temple and did it, but...
Yeah, no one's friends with those kids.
No, I was like, I'm out of here. It was already like 3 days a week of wasted time. If only I was taking Japanese lessons. That would have been a good use of my time. Oh, by the way, Mom, don't listen to this show. I should have mentioned that earlier when I tried to say Valkyria Chronicles 2.
That's okay.
Yes. And also, Disney's Guilty Party. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something
I'd
like
to about it. We've talked about it on the show about twice now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's when I went to the bathroom, I think. Anyway, Wombat, you finally saw Scott Pilgrim?
I did, and I know Shipwreck saw it, and who knows if you'll ever see it or not. So
I'll see it when I can get my hands on it. I don't think they're releasing it here. I don't know.
In short, I did really like the movie. I mean, it looks great. It's fun. It's funny, which is great. And, it's kind of upsetting that more people didn't see it. I'm surprised it cost so much to make.
It looked expensive from the trailer.
There's a lot of effects and everything.
There are a lot of effects, but I don't know. I just feel like the movie, according to IMDb, cost $60 million to make. And it doesn't, I don't know, I guess it doesn't have big, I mean, it has a lot of special effects, but a lot of that is computer generated, and the sets themselves don't look particularly ornate. So I'm just surprised the movie cost as much as it did. But I don't know.
But you like it. You recommend it.
But I did like it. Here's my thing, and I'll ask Shipwreck this question. Why am I rooting for Scott Pilgrim in this movie?
I don't know. I mean, he's kind of a dick. That's his whole thing.
Right? He's a dick, right?
No, yeah, he definitely is. That's how he is in the books as well. I don't know. He has...
Because the whole movie, I mean, I guess he sort of learns...
like, lesson learned? I don't know.
And even then, you're not really sure.
Yeah.
He's kind of a dick. So the whole movie I'm watching, and I go, this guy's kind of a dick.
Right.
I don't know if I care anymore about him. It gets to the point where you're watching it for the style. The style and the fights and the special effects and the onomatopoeias.
He comes off as likable still, though, even though...
I didn't find him likable.
Hmm.
That, and I always pictured him, based on the way he's drawn, I always pictured he'd be better looking.
You don't find Michael Cera attractive?
No, I really don't. I think he's starting to look kind of old.
He's hit the wall? You're saying Michael Cera hit the wall?
Yeah, it's like he's starting to morph into like old trolley guy with a bigger... Like, I feel like his nose is getting bigger and his chin is getting smaller. Hmm. And it just kind of threw me out of the movie a little bit. Because, again, if you look at the drawings, you know, Brendan Lee O'Malley's drawings of Scott Pilgrim, he kind of comes off as kind of what would be, you know, you'd think would be a cute guy, but he's not really very attractive.
Can we stop talking about the attractiveness of young men?
Whatever. You have a problem with that? Are you not comfortable?
Just because I live in Fort Gay doesn't mean that I like young men.
Well, you did a review of young women today. That was up.
I did. Brian Ashcraft, the guy who writes for Kotaku, wrote a book called Japanese Schoolgirl Confidential. And
Of course he did.
I thought I would help him out.
And you've read through it multiple times, except for the pages that are stuck together?
Right. Only once. I finished it. I read through it once. It's good. You should check it out. It's cheap on Amazon. It's like $11.50.
Do you really think we should check that out? Do you think we order that from Amazon, our wife comes home and sees us reading that? Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, I showed it to my wife. She thought it was pretty
interesting.
That's
because she is a Japanese schoolgirl.
Well, she was a Japanese schoolgirl.
Yeah. But like she doesn't have the outfit in the closet.
She doesn't. She has the gym outfit. I made her buy the gym outfit for Halloween one year, but then we decided it was sort of too risque to wear outside of the house. Because it's got those little like bloomer pants, short shorts. I decided I didn't feel comfortable with her wearing that outside of the house. I'm not sure she actually has worn it inside the house either. Maybe once she tried it on, but by the way, all that Fort Gay, West Virginia stuff that we're talking about, in case you don't know, it was some guy who lives in Fort Gay was banned from Xbox Live because he put that in his profile, and they thought he was being derogatory to homosexuals. It's pretty funny. Is Fort Gay real? Even if that place didn't exist, if you said you lived in Fort Gay, is that really derogatory?
I don't know. I mean,
it doesn't mean anything.
I don't think there'd be anything wrong in living in a fort full of gay people.
No. I mean, if you said, I'm going to take all homos and put them in Fort Gay and kill them, then that I could understand being a problem.
Yes, that would be derogatory. That would be by definition.
It's borderline, but
it's
yeah,
borderline, but it might violate the terms of service. But just to say you live in Fort Gay, I mean, I think that's okay. Anyway, what else we got? Oh, Tokyo Game Show is next week. I don't think we'll be able to do a show because I will be at the show. I will not be home and able to do the show. And then
so you are very far from Tokyo.
It's not. It's actually not in Tokyo. It's in Chiba, which is about maybe a 45-minute train ride.
Sunny Chiba?
Not sunny Chiba.
He is a big guy.
Yeah, it's not him. It's not inside him.
You sure?
So, yeah, it would be hard
for
me.
You may want to look that up because it'd be embarrassing.
Given like, the time difference between you and me, it would be very difficult for us to do the show. So
you
I
mean
think
like
I
w- tonight?
Well, no, not like tonight, because I will be at the show. I would be at the show right now at this time. You understand?
I get it.
You know, so I could be back at like, you know, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, but that you would be at work.
I would be.
Yes. So I think what I'll do is I'll do a lot of audio booze. People seem to like the audio booze. So if you want, you can subscribe now at audioboo.fm/GBD. I think that's where you can find me.
I would say if you do enough of them, you could put that up as like a solo episode. I'd be okay with that.
How about instead of doing that, I go to Hawaii?
Clip show.
How about, yeah, the problem with the clip show is that I didn't do it yet, and I'm running out of time.
So are we 2 weeks without an episode then?
Why 2 weeks?
Well, oh, there's Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, and then I'm going to Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Well, here we have an option. We could do the show next week, but just do it on like Wednesday. You know, my Wednesday.
Well, we should definitely do something. And if
we'll
you're
do
really,
something.
Yeah, and if we wind up not doing something, then maybe Shipwreck and I will do a show together, because that's always exciting.
I'll
never
fart,
awkward.
I'll fart into a microphone for a half an hour.
That'll work too.
Yep. Starting now. That was a teaser for next week's show.
That was fake anyway.
All right. So I'm sorry to disappoint you. What was your fart detector at? You could tell.
Oh, I could tell.
Right. All right. Last week we did a show, and there was some show feedback, and Wombat will now read it to you in a entertaining manner.
Oh, sure. Build it up. Alright 108 says, I absolutely loved hearing your opinions on the whole use games or evil subject. It's great to hear well-respected people actually offer a realistic argument on this matter.
Well-respected?
I don't know what show he listened to. I'm assuming he listened to another show.
Must be NPR or something.
Maybe. Which is something that not even sites like Penny Arcade can offer up anymore. The discussion amongst the three of you is one for the ages, and I really wish that other popular media outlets would listen to your conclusions rather than just see things from a black and white perspective.
I didn't listen to it. Was it that interesting?
My wife said it was.
Oh. All right. Good. Maybe I'll make a little clip of it and put it on YouTube.
There you go.
I don't think it was anything too profound. It was just us stating that it's... Not a black and white thing, like you said.
Yeah, basically, it was just we basically came to the conclusion that you can't just say used games are bad, and you can't just say used games are good, and there's a lot to take into account for it, and it's not just something you could just you can't put it in a box.
No, you can't. I mean, the one thing that you can take away is that games are expensive, and the reason why people buy used games is because they are cheaper, and if you want to get rid of used games, make the new games cheaper, and that's. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Or the used game's more expensive.
And this was something that was brought up that something, yes, and this is something that some people brought up and I thought of also. If people wanted their games for a longer period of time, there'd be less used games on the shelf.
If they didn't sell them back.
Exactly.
Well, it also comes back to the price thing. Again, a lot of people cannot afford to be paying $60 for a game. You know, two games a month or even one game a month. That's just too much money for them. So they may not even have a choice. And they have a game that they would rather keep, but they just can't afford that expensive new game. So they trade in that game, and then maybe in the future they'll buy that game back that they traded in when it's cheaper.
Which is also a distinct possibility.
Yeah, I mean, just look, it's an expensive hobby. That's what it comes down to. And unless you have a lot of disposable income, you cannot afford to buy everything that you want. To keep up with your hobby. And it is the kind of hobby where you know, if you're really involved in it, you're going to want to stay current and you're going to want to buy the new games when they come out so you can talk about them with your friends, you know?
Yes.
It's not like collecting baseball cards. Well, maybe, I don't know. Do people still do that?
I think so. I mean, Topps still exists, doesn't it?
Yes. I usually buy a pack of baseball cards every year.
For the gum?
Yeah, it's excellent. It's really good now.
Is it better now?
I thought they got rid of the gum.
No, they put the gum back in at least a couple years ago, at least they did. But they wrapped the gum in plastic as well.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't get off all over the cards and it kept its juiciness.
Juicy.
Do you remember when the gum was the size of a card? Or am I making that up?
I think you're making that up.
Yeah.
That might have been a specialty thing where it was like a certain company did that. Topps never did that.
No. I just remember being really hard.
You what?
The gum was hard.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, boy, this kid really liked his baseball cards.
I mean, oh, boom, yeah. Boom,
okay, what else we got, Wombat?
Poor Richard says, the problem with flying cars is that a crash would always be lethal. It would be a problem for the people walking underneath, too. We mentioned flying cars briefly last week, and I thought that was a funny line. And also, in last week's People magazine, they had a guy who actually, because you asked about this, I think it was it Shipwreck? You asked, where are flying cars, or was it Cheapy?
Me, it was me.
It was you. Flying cars do exist. Some guy invented one.
No, but it's really an airplane that you can drive. It's not really like the Jetsons.
Yeah, and the cost is $200,000. I was surprised at how cheap it is. It can go from JFK to Pittsburgh International Airport on one tank of gas.
Yeah, but you need to know how to fly a plane. I want something that's easy.
It looks pretty easy, actually. Did you see? Have you looked at it?
No.
The people that it's probably on people.com. I would say take a look. It actually looks really cool. It looks like a VW bug with wings.
Wait, let me ask you this question about his safety concerns. What was the movie where it was like a science fiction movie? Maybe it was Demolition Man. But when Fifth Element, where the car... No. Where the car fills up with like the foam when you crash.
Oh,
that
might have been Demolition Man. Yeah.
That is Demolition Man. And that guy died this week. The guy who was the fat guy in it who played Otho in Beetlejuice.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Rest in peace, that guy.
Oh.
Anyway, good. Yes, anyway, that was...
So they could do that in the flying cars. Although that wouldn't help with the problem with it falling on people when you crash.
Force fields. I mean, it's obvious.
Right. For the people have or force for the cars? Fields. Oh, everyone has a force field?
Yeah.
That would be good. That would help with a lot of things.
I don't see any other application for that other than falling car protection.
Cars falling on you?
Yeah.
What else?
QuasiCat says, although I visit the site often, I rarely leave any comments. I do want to take this time to say that I really enjoy having Shipwreck on the show. The chemistry between Cheapy and Wombat has always been great, but since Ship has been on the show, I think you guys have really taken off with the quality of discussions and topics. I think everyone has their specific spots where they all look at game reviews. CAG has recently become a big one for me, and I check out on the main page.
Oh, Shipwreck, look at you.
That's good. I like that.
Right.
Thank you, QuasiCat.
Let's see. Anything else here?
Yeah, Black Santa says, Bose systems are for pompous douchebags. So my question is, how many Bose systems do you have, Black Santa?
Ba-dum-bum.
I'll tell
you. You bought it?
I have...
The radio?
I have a Bose computer speaker system, but we use it as our bedroom stereo.
I'll tell you, I went to my friend's house this weekend, and he had that Bose surround sound system. It sounded pretty good to me. He was playing Modern Warfare 2 on it. Sounded like there was a war going on.
A modern war?
Yes.
Was it fair?
It was better than fair, I would say. All right.
I'm still looking between the Bose and the sound bars now.
Okay, you let me know. My living room is not. I got some email from people, and they said that it really you need to have like the. You know, a properly shaped living room with three regular walls, and I don't really have that.
Does the ceiling matter on the sound bars?
I'm assuming
it does. It doesn't?
Okay. Well, I heard it could bounce it off the ceiling, too. I don't know. I'm just so lazy. If I lived in America, I would just go and buy this stuff. I'd have it already, but because I can't really just go to a store and buy it here. It was just too complicated. I probably just do nothing.
I just have a vaulted ceiling in my family room, so that's what concerns me about the soundbar, I think.
What a pompous douchebag.
I know. Only pompous douchebags have vaulted ceilings.
All right. That's enough feedback, I think, Wombat. We don't have to read this one about the guy ragging on Shipwreck, do we?
Well, no. The reason why it's funny half of it he thinks is Shipwreck, and the other half of his argument that he's complaining about Shipwreck was actually something I said.
Oh, right.
I think the whole argument is complaining about you.
Well, yeah, now we have to say it. So Stahlbrand said, it's always grating to hear Shipwreck, who I otherwise like. Grating, what I say. Doesn't matter. Build an argument on the spot about something he knows nothing about, and then harp on it for another 5 minutes. He started off asking how the retail publisher-developer split went on new game sales, which is complicated, and then he decided that used games somehow still support the publisher but not the developer, which is incorrect. So I said the first half, and then we both sort of said the second half, but I don't think either one of us actually said it.
We said we didn't know. I actually found out. Somebody emailed me a link to the Michael Pachter's Pack Attack on game trailers, and he breaks it down. And so, like, the retailer gets $12, the developer gets $12, the publisher gets, like, $17. How much money is that right now?
I don't know. It's like $31, I think.
I don't know what happened to the rest. I think I get the rest. I'm not sure, but it was something like that.
That was very informative.
Thank you. Just go watch the game trailers of Michael Pachter, Pack Attack. Wait, speaking of Pack Attack, you were telling me that
he was on the live PAX Giant Bomb episode.
Oh, okay.
And he's pretty tipsy and pretty vocal, and it's really funny to listen to.
Can you give us some tidbits?
Well, he rags on the state of game journalism.
What does he say?
He says that basically every site has the same news, and they need to start stepping up their game and being a little more unique in a nutshell. Right, Chip?
They don't. Apparently they don't, though. Because they make money. The big ones are doing well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the big ones do just fine.
Right.
But, oh. Just
okay, so what else?
That was really it.
Yeah. I mean, he made fun of Mafia, too.
He did?
Oh, yeah, and he made fun of Mafia, too, which was pretty funny.
What did he say?
He said that it's just not going to be a profitable game.
Oh.
That when it costs $60 million to make and it only makes $40 million, that's not a good move.
That's Scott Pilgrim.
I think Scott Pilgrim's gonna make up for it when it comes to
It'll make it up on DVD. It'll make it up on DVD sales. It'll make it up on cable. I think it'll get a nice cable push. And I think that movie's gonna have legs. I could even see like a smaller, like a Spike or even a G4 ponying up a decent amount of money to have network viewing rights. There's also international. There's a lot going on for this movie that it'll make it back. It'll turn a profit of some sort. But there you go.
I'm interested. I kind of want to hear what he said about game journalism, because it's really, I mean, what can you really do if you're working for a big site? You're basically beholden to the game publishers to get the games so you can review them. Because basically the reviews are one of the most important things that you post if you're a game site. And if you don't get those...
And to get any kind of stories, you still have to go through PR to get through the publisher to get to the developer.
You got to get get invites to the events where they show the games before they're released. You're completely dependent on the people that you're reporting on.
That, and you can only release certain stories at certain times, so it's not
exactly.
Like you can
and you have this embargo thing, and if you, there's really, it's so hard to get any type of exclusive information. I mean, I don't really know what you can do. I mean, you know what? The example of like a scoop in game journalism is they're so rare. It would basically have to be like somebody getting a copy of a game.
Michael Pachter's examples are like People Magazine, where maybe going a little more in depth with the people who make the games and show them out of context and more interviews and
nobody cares
what are
about
they
that.
Like. I'm just not saying what he said. You don't have to,
I'm just saying. I'm saying he's wrong. Okay, go on.
Fine then. And what was his other one? He had another one too, and I already forgot it.
People care about the games. You know what people care about? They care about like hearing about what Halo Reach is like before everyone else is allowed to talk about it. And that's the problem. Like, you know, Kotaku gets a copy of the game, 3 weeks before it comes out, but they can't say anything about it. And really, to have an exclusive or anything really interesting and what would be considered a scoop would be is if you somehow got a copy of a game early, but you didn't get it from the publisher. So that you're not beholden to that publisher.
Kind of like me, I know what happens at the end of Halo Reach, not because I got it from the developer, but because someone who I guess pirated the game was kind enough to tweet me the end.
That was very nice of them.
Yeah, so I know. I could write that story.
And it's like a weird thing. So let's say for an example, I don't know. Somehow I find a copy of Halo Reach on the street. Just it fell out of a truck somewhere. I play the whole game. Or let's just say I pirated it. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I get the game, the full game somehow, play through it, and could write a review out of it, 2 weeks before the embargo is up. And I post that review. And I post everything about the game, in a just like a regular review. all the other news sites would hate me because they would feel it's unfair that I was able to do that and they're not.
Well, what do you care if you're a site owner what other sites would find unfair?
Okay, well, I'm going to continue. The Microsoft would, I would probably be blackballed from any event that they ever did again.
That is true.
I mean, it's just like you can't really go too far because you'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, like right now, you can pirate pretty much get any game for Xbox 360 probably a couple of weeks before it comes out, and you could be publishing all these reviews way ahead of anybody else. The problem is you would never be invited to any type of event, but maybe you don't care about that.
Well, really, I guess it would depend on the importance of the event. I mean, how important was, I don't know, the BioShock 3 event or whatever they're calling it?
BioShock Forever?
Yeah, whatever. BioShock Returns?
Right. I don't know. That's a good question.
Would you really be missing out? Because, yes, they showed gameplay footage at that event, but that footage is still under embargo and it's been over a month.
And maybe at that point, if you're doing that, let's say you decide, Wombat, that you're going to start a website, you call it Mr. X, just like Homer.
Homer, yeah, I got the joke.
Okay. And you buy one of these consoles that's like totally modded or whatever, and now you can get basically every game before it comes out. Because I don't know for sure, but I think most of these games are leaked on the internet a couple weeks before they come out. At least the big ones usually are. And now you're posting reviews of these games before everybody else. And that's all you do, is you only post reviews. So you don't care if the developers or publishers are inviting you to events. Because you're just going to post these reviews, and that's all you do.
Well, how are people going to know to read my reviews? Where are they going to find them? Well, that's question number two. If, I'm doing these reviews early, is Metacritic going to start picking up my reviews, my illegal reviews?
No.
Exactly.
No, you're going to get your site shut down is what's going to happen.
I guess so. But that's sort of what I'm saying in response to Pachter's argument is really, that's really the only thing that would be considered pretty newsworthy.
Well, if this won't happen either. If there were no embargoes, I think that would thin the herd out there too.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, we don't have time for the embargo thing today.
No, we don't. But
all right, let's move on to the new releases.
All right, there's a lot of them this week too.
Okay.
So we'll start off with Spider-Man: Shattered Dimensions. Came out for a bunch of stuff.
I was gonna say I was thinking of buying the game, but I'm waiting for your review, and they haven't sent you the review copy yet that they were supposed to send you. So those fucktards have lost out on a sale. Because they didn't send it to you yet.
Well, I don't know that I would go that far with them, but
I do.
Yeah, Activision gets their games to the mid and smaller sites. It seems like a week late on most accounts. So
what's the reasoning behind that exactly?
Like, I have suck. No idea.
They're saving money. Are they not paying for like the FedEx? They're paying for just first regular U.S. mail. Is that what they do?
I don't know. I don't get it. Like, sometimes I'll get a game like DJ Hero. I got that before it came out last year. And I think I got like Modern Warfare 2 before that came out. But for most of their releases, I usually get them either a few days or the next week after they come out.
I think for you, it's with the small, for some reason, the smaller releases you get late and the big releases you get early.
Sure. I would think Spider-Man's a pretty big release, though.
I don't think it's that big a release. I think that they've kind of swept it under the rug. Most reviews didn't come out until release day.
Well, there was an embargo.
I don't think that... Well, yeah, but that's...
There was.
It never bodes well for a game. I don't trust any game review that's embargoed for day of release.
On the day of release.
The day of release.
Yeah, it's not a good sign, but it's been getting good reviews.
It's been getting decent reviews, but it's not been getting great reviews, but it shows how little faith Activision has in the game.
Right. I agree.
If Activision thought the game was great, reviews would have been out 3-4 days prior, giving people an opportunity to pre-order it.
Right.
That's what an early review should do. A good early review of a game should make me read it and go, holy crap, I never pre-ordered Spider-Man. I better pre-order it now before it's sold out with all these great reviews. But right. Instead,
that's gonna happen.
It could happen. Instead, I'm not seeing any reviews and barely any more news about the game, and I'm thinking, wow, this game must really suck.
Yeah, but it has a 79 on Metacritic right now, and
which isn't. I mean, is that is a 79 a minute? Is that worth $60?
Oh, I don't know. That's a whole other story. But
I'm still looking forward to playing it. So I hope it gets
me too. I'm looking forward to playing it too.
This week, Ubisoft had two games. They had Hawks 2, and they had Ruse.
I played the Ruse demo.
Really? How was that? Did you like that?
You know, for everybody, it's a real-time strategy game, and I'm playing through the demo, and it's World War II real-time strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing through the demo, and I'm playing it for like 5-10 minutes, and it's teaching me some of the units, and I'm fighting some people. And then at some point, I just say to myself, why am I still playing this? And then I turned it off. It's, it's a pretty generic real-time strategy game.
Why do they keep trying these on consoles?
That's the other thing I couldn't figure out, is these things don't sell. Like, even like that Supreme Commander, like that has that's like a franchise. Well, at least they're on the second one. And that game was discounted like almost like a week after release. All these retailers are like, oh my god, we have so many Supreme Commander 2s.
Wasn't that a port of the PC version that was like older, much older? Or am I
Supreme
making
Commander
up?
2 came out the same time, yeah. Right around the same time for both was the it? Console okay. and the PC.
Yep. Yeah. And look, Ruse is getting good
Red
reviews.
Alert or whatever it was.
It's getting good reviews, and I don't think anyone's really interested in playing these types of games on a console, and I don't think anyone's going to buy it.
I think we also have different opinions on what's considered a good review.
Anyway.
I just don't... Doesn't Ubisoft see this early on, that there's no...
There's no demand. There's no demand for it.
Have you seen any marketing for this game at all? Anywhere?
It gets a lot of posts on, like, blogs and, like, there's a lot of stories that run about it.
People like the name, I think.
It's got periods.
So sure does Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
So does my wife.
That was clever.
I'm not excited about either of those.
There you go. No. What else have this week?
There is NHL 11.
I'm excited about that.
That's getting good reviews.
I played the demo several times. It's it looks really good. I'm busy right now with Tokyo Game Show coming up and then going on vacation. Otherwise, I would have had this ordered already. I'm also waiting to see if it's region free on the 360. That'll also play a part in whether I buy it or not. I don't want to get the PS3 version because people I know will be playing it on 360. But I also don't want to have to keep switching my consoles if I want to play NHL. So I'm sort of going to wait and see on this. But it's got that ultimate team mode that they have in Madden, like that card-based mode where you build your own team from the playing cards. It seems really good. And it's a great game of hockey, most importantly. The gameplay is really good, so... So yeah, NHL 11. Woohoo!
Yeah, and then for the Wii, there's that NHL Slapshot game that comes with the hockey stick attachment thing.
As soon as I see like there's a hockey stick attachment, I just like tune out.
How do you feel about the Wayne Gretzky cover?
Let me look at it. Hold on.
Besides the fact that he looks like he looks as old as his number.
Yeah.
How he's sort of obscuring that he's wearing an Oilers jersey, I find interesting.
Because they probably don't have the... Oh, I guess they do have the NHL.
Yeah, so why are they obscuring it? I mean, you could see the E and the R. Although the colors... I mean, maybe it's just the shot. The colors look a little bit off.
It's weird, the Ranger jersey?
It almost looks like a Rangers jersey, but it's not. Because the font on the E and the R is definitely Oilers.
Right. I know it's not a Ranger. Dude, I know it's not a Ranger.
I know that. I'm saying, but it looks more like Ranger colors than Oiler colors, unless they change them. And I haven't been paying attention.
I don't know. It's a classic Oilers jersey.
Is it? Was it always that dark of blue and that red red?
Yeah.
I thought it was
maybe
like
the color on your monitor is off.
I was going to say, it must be my monitor then. That's what I said. I said, unless it's just my monitor, the colors don't seem right.
Speaking of old, you know who else is old?
Mm-mm.
Me.
How old are you?
Today's my birthday.
Is it really?
Oh.
Let me work that in. awkwardly.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
How come it didn't show up? I didn't get any kind of.
Well, it's because I'm a day ahead of you.
Oh. So I'm not a jerk. It's just, I don't know. Didn't know it was your birthday yet.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Technically, it's not my birthday, but where I am now, it's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you know how old I am?
You're 36.
7.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap, you're old.
I know.
That's so old.
I know. What am I going to do?
Do your knees work anymore? Because like, mine only work like half the time and I'm only 33.
I was on the Stairmaster for 20 minutes yesterday and I was on the bike for 30. So they were working.
Excellent. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, what else?
We have Batman, the Brave and the Bold. I know Wombat's interested in that one.
Yeah, I think I'm getting that in for review.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's also getting decent reviews. It's supposed to be kind of short, but I'm still looking forward to playing it, so.
Cool.
And yep. Then on the portables for the DS, the latest Professor Layton came out, and Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, which... I used to like the Kingdom Hearts franchise, but it seems like there's a new one comes out every year.
They're not special anymore.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to pass on that one right now. And let's see. Oh, and a bunch of Move games came out. But the Move isn't out yet.
Right.
So you can go stock up and wait.
We can talk about those when the Move is out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Or not. For Xbox Live Arcade, Plants vs. Zombies came out, and I haven't tried that yet. Have you guys tried it?
No.
I have to
think
not.
About it, though.
Well, I played it on the computer.
Sure. Yeah, I've played it before. I just haven't played the 360 version.
Yeah.
Right. And then for PSN, Terror Rover came out, and I've been playing some of that. And it's actually a pretty good... little puzzle platformer. Like, it has a lot of physics involved. You play as this robot moon rover, and it kind of reminds me like Trials HD mixed with Loco Roco.
That's supposed to be a WiiWare game. I'm like, aren't the Trials guy making another game? But that's for Wii, I think. So
yeah, they are. They're making another like motorcycle racing game for Wii. Something racers or something. I don't remember.
Something, something. Yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about right now.
Nope.
But thanks for that, though. Terror Rover. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's got the same type of things where you have to like shift the weight of the rover back and forth so you can like climb up right angles and everything. But you can press a button and he can like flip his head upside down, and so that changes the direction of where his treads are at. So you kind of have to flip his head around and back and forth to kind of fit in between spaces, and you level him up. So you start off and he doesn't have any weapons, and then you find enough items and then he can build a gun on the front of him, and then he gets like a magnet thing so he can attach to the ceiling and so on and so forth. But It's a neat little game so far. I've been about an hour into it, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll have a review out for that. It's $15.
All right, anything else for the new releases?
I think that does it.
I think we're covered. I will be back in about 2 seconds.
Oh, my God. I got to know where you're going.
I know the bedroom door is open, and I can hear the TV, and it's driving me crazy.
Okay.
So I'll be right back.
Go slap a bitch.
I'll do my best.
Thank you. I was talking about your dog. All right, shopping news, CAG news. We got it both for you here. First of all, we want everybody to know that the Chicago CAG meetup is going down on September 11th at the Galloping Ghost Arcade. It starts at noon, and for $15, you can play as many arcade games as you can. I think they're open till 2 a.m., so that's a lot of gaming there for $15. And I don't know what else they do there. Do people trade games on there? I don't know. Look in the Northwest Regional Forum on CAG.
She slapped me.
Details. She slapped you. She kicked you in the nuts.
Ow.
Was the door open?
It was.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.
Doesn't she know what you're doing?
I don't think
Doesn't she have respect for what you do?
No, not even a little.
No?
No, of course not.
Really?
Of course she does.
Oh, okay.
She's never missed an episode.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Delete that part where I said, you distract her when
she
say
she will hear everything that you said about her, yes.
Oh. I was talking about Zelda.
Oh, okay, yeah, that bitch is noisy.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got going on CAG? Well, we have this huge contest, the Wheel of Halo, the Halo Reach giveaway. Go to the contest pages on CAG.
Ba, 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 ba,
yes, we wait, hold on. Let me start again. Ready? Wheel of Halo. Ba, now you're supposed to do the song.
Ba, 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 ba,
okay, ba, so okay, enough. Ba, okay, this, ba, I can't talk while you do that. Okay. It's too distracting. Okay, so here's what we're doing. We have that, the contest page on CAG. Sign up for the contest on there. And what we're doing is we're going to have 10 winners, and every winner has a chance to win a Halo prize, a Halo Reach prize. Anything from a Halo Reach headset. Well, we get a headset, controller, the regular game, the limited edition, the legendary edition, all the way up to the 250 gigabyte Reach console bundle. And basically, we'll choose these 10 winners, and I have a wheel, and I'll spin the wheel for each of these winners, and that whatever the wheel lands on, that's the prize they're going to get. So technically, 10 people could win a Halo Reach console. Chances are, that's not going to happen. I hope that doesn't happen.
It could happen.
That's $4,000 right there.
That would suck for you.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to broadcast this live on Ustream on Sunday night, 9 o'clock at night, this Sunday. So sign up for the contest. Join us on Ustream. Look on the front page of CAG. You'll see all the details. It's beautiful. You're going to like it. What else we got going on? Oh! We've got what any good deals this week? I forgot to sort of put these together. Oh, we also, speaking of Halo Reach, I put together a Halo Reach pre-order deal and exclusives and general shopping guide. You'll see all that also on the front page of CAG. I got all the pre-order deals, and you can see what exclusives you get where and who's
Kmart has a good pre-order deal, don't they? Isn't it like a $25 gift card and a $25 credit or something crazy like that?
Yeah, it's a $25 gaming coupon, which you can use for future purchases on games, and also $25 off select titles when you buy them with Halo Reach. So that is the best deal out of all of them. That
Kmart also has a good deal this week for Spider-Man. You get a $20 gift card with that.
Ah, okay. Yeah, they have a lot. They've been doing a great job with all the deals. They have the best Sunday ad deals, too. These expire on I guess, Saturday's the last day. But if you buy a 1,600-point card for Xbox Live, you get a $10 Xbox gaming coupon. And if you buy a 4,000-point card, you get a $20 coupon. Yeah, and NHL 11 also has that $20 gaming coupon. And StarCraft 2 is $40. So, good stuff going on. And what else we got going on? Well, we have some of our sponsors, GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Some coupon codes for you: 10% off any order CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with code CAG domain. That's GoDaddy.com. And of course, we have to thank our friends over at GameStop. And they want you to know about something.
That buying used games is A-okay.
Right. They want you to buy used games, most certainly, and sell your old games to them. But they also want you to know about their Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock pre-order. They have an exclusive Soundgarden album.
It's the new album. It's the reunion album.
Right. So if you pre-order Guitar Hero there...
Is that the one with Black Hole Sun?
Yes, that's the one with Black Hole Sun on it.
Yeah. I thought it's a new album. That's a joke.
Thank you.
Okay, so you get
Shipwreck
the Soundgarden.
Made a joke that you didn't get, and then
I'm
furthered
sorry.
It.
I'm too busy trying to figure out what I'm saying here. So the Telephantasm is the name of the album that you get, and you also get some sort of plastic to put on your guitar. the Battle Axe guitar.
I will be back in 2 seconds. I believe my dog is throwing up in the kitchen.
Slap that bitch.
Yeah, slap a bitch.
Take your pick this time. So, yeah. So, if you're going to get a Guitar Hero, go over to GameStop because they like us. And blah. That's it. So, let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff, even though Wombat's not here. Okay, let's talk about... Well, let's talk about the Guitar Hero WoW demo. Warriors
okay,
of Rock.
Okay, there's one.
Oh, it's not WoW. It's Warriors of Rock. Why did I write WoW?
I don't know, but I'm back.
Okay. Did you guys try out the Guitar Hero demo?
No.
No. I didn't see anybody else playing it either. They did something really weird this time. So I guess they've decided that they're going to be like the Puzzle Quest of music games now, and that they're trying to add modes on that people that may really don't belong. But in this case, you know, Puzzle Quest, it worked. This... I don't think it really works. So what you do now is you get these star points, I think they're called, and when you reach a certain number of star points, your guy like levels up and he transforms into like a monster type of guy. And then you have like you get like an ability. So like I had Johnny Napalm, and so Johnny Napalm turned into like this monster, and now the ability was that you automatically start with a minimum of 2x multiplier, and your multiplier goes up quicker.
Multiplier?
Isn't it multiplier?
Multiplier.
Oh, okay, whatever. Corbin Dallas multipass? Multipass. So that's what they're doing, and I don't know. I didn't know any of the songs in the demo. And, yeah, I think I would rather just have good songs. I think people play these games for the songs. And not for like this sort of like, what would you call that? Some sort of weird hook that may not really, people don't really care about.
A gimmick? Is that the word you're
looking for? Gimmick. That's the word I'm looking for. Gimmick. Thank you. So I don't know. I don't know if that'll be successful. It'll be interesting to see when Rock Band 3 comes out and this comes out, which one sells better. I'm going to guess that Rock Band 3 is going to destroy it because of the keyboard stuff.
Maybe.
No?
You think people are just burned out? I don't know. I think Guitar Hero still carries the name.
Okay. I'm curious. But, I'm curious to see what happens with that.
I mean, I'm definitely more excited about Rock Band 3.
But. Yes. Yeah, I just watched that video about the keyboard stuff today. Looked pretty good. Let's talk a bit about the Mafia 2 DLC, Jimmy's Vendetta. I bought that. It's $10. And it is a little bit disappointing, I think, the way that they've done this. It's... So you play
Jimmy?
Who's Jimmy? You play as Jimmy, who is a guy who is a bald guy, and he supposedly worked for the mafia and the Irish mob too, as like a, you know, like a killer, I guess. And,
how does this fit in with the main game at all? Or
it's completely separate. When you start it up, it's a separate item on the main menu, and when it starts up, you're in jail. And it says, you know, you've been screwed over by the mob. They set you up and you're going to get out of jail.
Let's get on.
You get your vendetta, right? It's Jimmy's Vendetta or Vengeance. Okay. I don't even remember what it's called. The problem is the way they set this up is, so you're in the same city as you were when you played through the main game. And every once in a while, and then they'll put like a mission on the map for you, or maybe two missions. And you can choose to do those missions. And that's pretty much it. It's just like there's one or two missions at a time, and they're like really small things. They're like, okay, you have to go blow up two gas stations, or you have to steal this car. It's not what I would call exciting, and
so
I kind of lost
interest. It sounds like it's what the side missions in the main game should have been.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I thought while playing it. I was like, this should have been in the game, and then... Because what people complained about for the most part with Mafia 2 was that there was really no side missions. There was just the main missions. And that beyond that, there's really not much to do. But that's what they've done with this.
Well, this game has been in development for quite some time. Do you think at one point this DLC were the side missions?
I don't know.
And then in an attempt to recoup that $60 million development cost, they removed it and made it DLC?
It's possible. I don't really know. I don't want to guess, but all I do, what I do know.
Of course you want to guess. That's, we do that every week.
That's what we do? Okay, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
The,
but
the only thing I think that maybe it wasn't, well, I think it was probably, they definitely had this ready to go, but I think they didn't put it in the main story because the story itself is very linear. So I think putting in this other stuff kind of would break the story almost.
When you see it, I mean, it's like stealing cars, and it's, I'm trying to think what the different missions were. I had to blow up two gas stations. I had to deliver like a gas tanker somewhere. I had to, you know, follow some people and kill them. They're very much like this. They're really short missions, basically. And I think they could have worked them into this, to the main story without having it really done much to the, to ruin the story, because they're not all available at once. Even in this, they pop up like one or two at a time. It's not compelling. It seems sort of like, and they do it in like an arcade way. So you get like points and multipliers from, you know, for like killing people and blowing stuff up.
Bottom line, is it worth it? Is it worth my $10?
No, you're going to be, I think you're going to be disappointed if you play through the first play through the game and then go to this. You're just going to be like, all right, this is kind of lame. And I tried, I lost interest. And then I picked it up again and I lost interest again.
Okay.
I did finish the, had I finished the game last week, the single player? I don't think so.
No, you had not.
Oh, it's I enjoyed the game a lot. I think the game is a great game. I think it took me about 12 hours to finish it. And I would just look out for a price drop on this one, because it is a very well done game. It's not perfect, certainly. There is a lot of driving involved. But
are you still planning on writing up a small
part
of this review? Okay.
Yeah, I will.
All right, so there should be a review soon with both of our thoughts.
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow probably. So once he finishes the clip show. The clip show is not looking too good right now.
Really?
For next week.
What?
It just takes so long. It takes a long time. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be entertaining the Screw Attack guys early next week. They're staying at the hotel across the street from me.
You got Craig and Destin?
No, it's Craig and another guy who I don't know.
Oh.
Angel, I think, or Angel? Angel? Anyway, so yeah, that's the Mafia 2 story. What else? Shipwreck, you bought Wet? You got Wet, Shipwreck?
I didn't buy it. It came from Gamefly.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like that game. It's pretty stupid fun. Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, it's bound to be fairly cheap by now, right?
Oh, it's got to be super cheap, yeah.
Let me look it up on the
it reminds me of, did you guys play Total Overdose for the original Xbox?
I played the demo.
I feel like, yeah, I think I played the demo on that too. I'm like, I recall the game.
Okay, it's just, I mean, it puts you in a room full of enemies, and you press a button to have her jump up in the air and go into slow-mo, and then you shoot as many enemies as you can before you hit the ground. And then once you hit the ground, you hit another button, and then you slide around on your knees, and you shoot as many people in slow-mo, sliding on your knees as you can.
Did you play Stranglehold?
I did. It's similar.
But Stranglehold is better, right?
I would say the dumb...
Stranglehold's probably the better game, but I have more fun with Wet.
Oh, really?
Did you play Gungrave on the PS2?
I did.
It kind of reminded me of that.
I like these. Yeah, I like these stupid just... They're good for short bursts. You don't have to like really concentrate on them very much.
Right. It's a mindless game.
Yeah. So I had some fun with that.
Okay. What else?
I've been playing a card game, like a actual deck of cards, not video version.
What?
This game called Flux.
I looked this up when I saw your tweet about it, and it happens to look really interesting. So I want to hear what you have to say about it.
It's really cool. You get a deck, and it's 100 cards, and so everybody plays with those cards. It's not like you're building a magic deck or anything like that. And so the reason it's called Flux is because the rules are constantly changing. So each person gets dealt 3 cards to begin with, and then there's one card in the middle of the table that is the basic rules card. And the only thing on that basic rules card is... Each turn, you have to draw a card, and you have to play a card. And the cards you pick up, they can be different rules that then add on to that. So you can place a card down that says, okay, now every time you have to draw 5 cards. And then another person can put one down that says, okay, you can only have two cards in your hand at any given time. And so there's all these things going on where the rules are constantly changing, and you have other cards that are called keeper cards. And these are things like, it'd be like, let me think what some of them are. I'm thinking we got Zombie Flux as well. So maybe I'll just say what the ones in the Zombie Flux, because it's basically the same game. But so you have keeper cards that are things like, chainsaws or, just like a friend that you have, things that like you need to get out of a zombie apocalypse. And then you have cards called creeper cards, which are the zombies. And so you constantly have to try to get rid of the zombies and build up your keepers to match a goal card, which is also constantly changing because you're constantly laying down new goal cards. So the goal cards are like you have the chainsaw card and you have the gas card and you have no zombies and you win the game. So you can really win the game in like 5 minutes, or it can go on for like 40 minutes. So it's a really fun game. Gretchen and I have been playing it like nonstop since we picked it up. It's like 12 bucks on Amazon, I think.
Wow. All right. Flux. Does anybody give a flux?
I was waiting for the joke. I was waiting for someone to make a joke.
Right. I had several jokes ready to go on that.
I figured you did. Yeah. I don't, I mean,
when he said the game could go on for 40 minutes, I was going to say sort of like your discussion of it.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
I went with the who gives a flux.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that you could have thrown in, you know, he spent enough time on this. I thought he was talking about a flux capacitor.
Maybe? That's lame. That is lame.
Too lame?
That is lame.
Awful.
If only I could go back in time and take it back.
Okay, Wombat, what else? What else we have in your news and stuff?
Well, did you hear about the Duke Nukem Forever?
I did. I heard it's out. It's playable. It was playable at PAX.
Yeah, and it was bought by Gearbox. They bought the game outright. They bought, I guess, all the licensing.
They bought
for
the
it.
IP. Yeah.
You know, Randy Pitchford and his crew. I have a theory on this. It's really not that harebrained, but okay. I figured I'd do a little game developer theater on
excellent
on this. So Shipwreck, you get to be the guy in finance. Okay.
Okay.
I'm Randy Pitchford, your finance guy. You're telling me how much we made from the Borderlands DLC.
By the way, how come I never get to be in?
Do you want to be in it too?
Well, that's okay.
I'm finance guy number two.
All right. I'll keep quiet. Go ahead.
Okay. No, right.
You can help me out with the finances. You can be my assistant.
There you go.
Ready? So, yes, I'm ready. Am I starting?
Yes.
This is what we're doing. So, Randy, we really did well with the Borderlands DLC. We had people buying this $10 a pop just so they could store their gun someplace. Taking that out of the main game was a great idea. Great idea.
Well, the game itself sold well too, didn't it?
Yes, it did very well. I mean, we'd always like it to do better, but yeah, it was critically and sold like gangbusters all the way.
So we have a lot of money now.
Well, we're doing all right. I think Borderlands 2 is definitely going to help our case out. I think we should just keep on riding this wave for as long as we can.
That's not a bad idea, but here's what we're going to do. Let's buy Duke Nukem.
What's that?
Duke Nukem, it's a game. It's been in development now for about 12 years. I say we buy that and finish it. What do you say?
Is that Borderlands 2? Is that what Duke Nukem is?
No. No Borderlands 2. We're going to buy Duke Nukem Forever and finish it.
Can we fit that into you're gonna be able somehow?
You're gonna be able to pee and flush the toilet, and we're gonna finish it. Duke Nukem Forever. Where's my checkbook?
Very nice, very nice.
Yes. And scene.
Right. All right.
So basically, I'm thinking they made more money on my theory is they made more money on DLC than expected. And they're like, let's buy something stupid. Have you ever done that? We've all done that. You have a little bit of money come in, like a birthday check.
Right.
And you buy something stupid, like a second Xbox 360 Slim for no reason.
You did or that. A black Wii.
Or a black Wii. Exactly. Or a black Wii for no reason. Or a guest spot on the Howard Stern show.
Right.
We've all done it. This is Randy Pitchford's version of that.
Got it. Yeah, that's probably very true. I mean, is really at this point, could this game possibly sell?
I don't even know if it's a question of selling. The real question is, how much did he pay for it? How much is already done? How much investment does he need to put back into it? Because game may have, technically cost hundreds of millions of dollars, but if he's only putting in 20 million of that hundreds of millions that has been spent over the years, and yes, that number is completely made up, I have no idea, then it may not be as big a loss. The profit margin that Gearbox needs may not be as high as we think.
Right.
So there's that. It's, if you're buying a game that's already 60% done.
Yeah, it's a good theory. I like your theory.
Yeah.
I'll subscribe to your newsletter.
Thank you. That's my theory. I'm pretty sure that it's his it's his Xbox right. Slim.
I heard he also bought a Lamborghini.
No, I think he was going to, and then he said, on his way to the store.
Yes. Right. That was Cliffy B, I think.
Yes, that was Cliffy B.
He does. He owns a Lamborghini.
I'm sure he does.
All right. What else?
Dead Space 2 is going to have multiplayer in it.
Great.
I think that's still under embargo.
I liked your tweet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
what did your tweet say?
I said, at no point during Dead Space 1 did I think to myself, this game needs multiplayer.
Right.
Because it doesn't. I don't understand the point. I don't see why Dead Space 2 needs multiplayer. I don't think anyone's going to play it.
Is it co-op?
No,
or
it's a versus. It's been, I believe it's been shown and it's going to be, I think, officially announced on Friday.
Is it monsters versus
I think
people?
So. It's just gotta people. Be. I don't know what it, yeah. Better be. I don't care.
Right. It might be good. Don't say that. It might be good. Singularity did that with the monsters versus
I know,
people.
But it's decent and there's nothing, and yeah, I guess it's all right, but who's playing it?
We'll see. Maybe they're going to make it really good and flesh it out.
Well, the thing is, the single player on this looks really good, so it doesn't matter if they add it on, whatever.
I don't want to see this turn into another BioShock 2 where every couple of months they're releasing more DLC for map packs. Map packs for multiplayer no one's playing.
Seems weird.
Exactly.
Okay, we can move right on to Sony, or I can give you an update on the CAG pre-orders, Move versus Kinect.
What do you got?
Do you want to see that? Okay. I'll actually give you the numbers. I'll give you the straight up numbers.
Give me the high-level numbers. Go for it. Hit me up.
Okay, this is from the beginning of this year till, I guess, yesterday. So there are 48 Kinect pre-orders.
Yeah, baby.
From Amazon. And Move, Move, there's so many freaking configurations.
How are you tracking this? Yeah.
This is not, okay, so for Move, the starter bundle, that's the $100 bundle that comes with Sports Champions, but not the navigation controller. There's been 30 of those pre-orders. There's also been, separately, there have been 32 Move controller pre-orders. It's probably the same people who are buying the starter bundle are also buying the controller separately for two players.
Can you compare this? Do you have the Halo pre-orders numbers? I'm just
Oh, the Halo Reach pre-orders numbers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I mean, let me put it this way. I don't want to give out the Halo pre-order numbers, but let me put it this way. If you combined all the Kinect and the Move pre-orders let's see. So that would be, I don't know. Let's say it's 100.
That's about 100. Yeah, it was 46, 33, and 30. Okay. Is that what you said?
There are several times more Halo Reach Legendary Edition pre-orders than there are Kinect and Move pre-orders combined. Let's put it that way. Is that a good? Does that give you an idea?
Yeah, that gives me an idea.
Okay, and if you're talking about just overall Halo Reach pre-orders, you're talking about, it's it doesn't even compare. It's ridiculous. But believe it or not, this is pretty interesting. There's one, if you combine all the Halo Reach pre-orders, there's still a game that has had more orders on CAG this year. There's one game that had more orders on CAG than all of the Halo Reach editions combined.
This is a game that's out already or a game that's coming out?
A game that's out already.
Okay.
It got very good reviews, and it's an console exclusive.
Is it Super Mario Galaxy 2?
It is, Wombat. Good for you. Very good. I mean, it's very close. It's very close, but Super Mario Galaxy 2 had more. I mean, it had Amazon had a really good deal on that, right? Wasn't it like $40?
It was a good deal.
Plus a $20 gift card. So okay. So that's your pre-order update. Move and connect, setting the world on fire. Anything else you want to know while I have this gigantic list open?
No, we're done with this. Let's move on. Tell me something interesting about Valkyria Chronicles. We'll move on to Sony.
That is a PSP game, and it is very much, from what I understand, like the PS3. I never played the original on the PS3, but I can tell, this is one of those games I can tell that it's really high quality, but I can also tell that it's not exactly my thing. It is a turn-based strategy game from a third-person perspective. And it's this kind of fantasy universe, but they use modern weapons, so they're using tanks and guns and stuff like that. And so you have your squads, and you go around, and you hide behind cover, and shoot the enemies, and you try to flank them and everything. But I am just so bad at these games. Like, I feel like I missed a point where I was supposed to gain all this knowledge. Like, I just passed up all these games that were supposed to impart this knowledge on me, and now I'm just really terrible at these games. And I don't know if it's just because I don't have the patience. Like, I would just rather stand up and shoot somebody than wait behind something and wait for them to come to me, or like take more time to have it done.
Right,
so
right.
Every once in a while, I get these like flashes of brilliance that I understand why people like it so much. Like, I'll have a guy, just by happenstance, I'll have a guy in like in a tower, and then I'll have another guy like hiding in the grass, and then I'll have my tank around the corner, and then all of a sudden the enemy will become running around the corner, and I have like a guy shooting from above and a guy hidden shooting from the side, and then my tank right there just blowing him up as well. And I'm like, oh, okay, I did something good. And then it's like 30 more turns, and it's just me shooting a guy in the head repeatedly.
Right.
But
hey, Chippy,
it's got a whole high school.
Chippy, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
When Chipwreck said RTS on the PSP, did you stop listening to?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
It's turn-based on the, not RTS.
Never. Turn-based.
See, I even tuned out before he even mentioned whether it was turn-based or RTS. What do you think of that?
I'm not surprised. That's what I think of that.
Right.
Fans of the series will like it.
Okay, that's what we need to know.
Excellent.
That's the important thing right there.
Shut up.
It was Cheapy saying, yep.
Right.
Uh-huh.
No comment. Uh-huh. Kazoo?
How about that firmware update on the PS3? That was good.
How long did it take? How long did it take you to install? Because I haven't done it yet.
I want to say like 40 minutes from start to finish.
Oh, fuck them.
I didn't even bother.
It was a quick one too. So
That's a quick one. That's to disable the jailbreak stuff that came out?
I think so.
As far as I know, like it didn't do anything that I noticed.
Right. Sweet. It's fun.
How's that Mass Effect 2 DLC?
I finished it last night.
Is it awesome? I heard it's awesome.
It's very good. It's a lot of fun. And it's funny because we just played the Overlord DLC. We'd finished that like the week before. You know, Mrs. Cheapy says and watches me play it. She really likes Mass Effect. She said that she preferred this one a lot more than Overlord. It's just the locales are interesting. The story is interesting. There's a lot more going on than Overlord. It's the only problem is that it's sort of short, I guess. I mean, it depends on your definition. It took me about 2 hours, I think, to finish. I mean, we finished it in two nights. So, you know, before pre-bedtime action. So it was about 2 hours. Remember like 2 weeks ago, I sort of said, you know, that the Overlord DLC priced at $7 is really like the magic price point. And it's very rare because most of this stuff is $10. And even though it's only a $3 difference, it seems way more expensive, and you somehow expect a lot more. And I was reading the joystick review of this Shadow Broker DLC, and who's the reviewer? Andrew Yoon. So he really liked it. He wrote this whole review out saying how he really liked it. And the last two paragraphs about the review basically talk about the pricing and how it's too much money. And, you know, he says basically that it's a must because it fills out a lot of the story and it brings back Liara, the blue girl who you may have had sex with in the first game. I did. I know I did.
I did. I'm very interested to see how that worked out, you know, now that I slept with someone else.
Do you want to?
I don't know. I don't want to know. I want to. I mean, here would be my only thing. Does it come up at all, or do they not even mention it?
It comes up.
Okay, that's all.
I'll say one thing. I won't say anything. Forget it.
Don't say anything. I said, I'm gonna buy it.
Let me read you this one line from how Andrew concluded his review on Joystick. He says, "It feels like BioWare and EA, fully aware of its importance, have taken this crucial arc hostage as DLC and have bet that you're willing to pay the $10 ransom." And there's a whole other, you know, there's two full paragraphs at the end of the review that basically talk about that it's priced too high. All they had to do was charge $7 for this, and those two reviews would not be in this guy's review, and everybody would just be talking about how great it was, and for $3, for three measly dollars, you could have made your fans happy, and you could have gotten, you know, reviewers to just sort of say, hey, everybody, this is totally worth it. It's a great value. It seems like a weird decision to me. I don't know why, but still it's fun. And if you're looking to spend two more hours for $10 in Mass Effect 2, you'll have a good time. That's what it comes down to. So yeah, there it is.
Did you guys buy Dead Rising 2 Case Zero?
I did. Did you guys?
I didn't.
Can't get it.
I wanted to. I just never got around to it.
300,000 people did.
I know. I guess well, that's $5. A lot. I was going to say, what is that? What's 300,000 times 5, math boy?
$1.5 million.
That's not bad. I mean, I don't know how much.
On top of what they're going
to
make for the
game. I was going to say, I don't know how much it cost them to make, especially if it's, you know, I'm assuming it uses the same, you know, engine and a lot of the assets from the game they already had.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean,
how do you like it, Chip?
Okay. I like it a lot, but I have the same issues that I did with the first game still, in that it's constantly timed, like your missions are timed, and the save points, there's more save points now, and you have your three save slots, but it still seems kind of counterintuitive to what I want to do in the game.
Like, you just want to kill zombies, right?
Right.
You want to walk around a shopping mall.
I don't even want to kill the zombies because I'm in such a rush to get to where my next objective is.
Right. It's so
dumb.
That
I'm just like running past all these zombies and all these objects that I can kill them with.
Right. It's so dumb. That's why I'm not buying
it. I'm not buying it either. My problem with the first game was that it really seemed like a game that lent itself to exploration, and then they stuck a timer in it.
Right. Exactly.
But taking out.
That's the same thing that happens with this.
Yeah.
I kind of forgive it in the $5 sense because
I'm talking
like,
about the full version. I'm sorry. I'm talking about this. I'm not buying the $60 version.
Right. I think this is enough of Dead Rising 2 for me. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out for him because, I would say I've played this for 2 or 3 hours, I think. And it's the type of game where I'm okay if I die and have to restart because you keep your levels. It's the same as the first game. You power up your character and you can start over again and you keep all your stuff. And so I'm okay doing that in like a 2 hour game or so, but over a course of a longer game, that just becomes very annoying to me. So,
I mean, really all I wanted to do when I played the first game was go through the mall and slice up zombies with different weapons. And I, you know, all the other stuff, okay, is fine. And once in a while, like, if I want to do a mission, let me do a mission.
I just remember playing that game and talking to someone and be like, yeah, wasn't the part in the parking lot awesome? And I'm like, there was a parking lot? Because I never got around to finding it. Because I felt so confined, literally at the entrance of the mall. I felt like that I couldn't, if I went any path further than that, I couldn't get up to the storeroom where everyone was hiding, and I was gonna miss the helicopter because I only had 5 minutes to do whatever I wanted to do in a day, and it completely ruined the game for me. The creation of artificial tension by using a timer, as opposed to say making a story that has natural tension, felt very artificial and ruined the game. So
was this the game that they got an American developer to do it or help them with it?
Yeah, this was American developer
this time, but not the first one.
No, the first the sequel. So, but they didn't change this time.
No, they didn't change that.
Well,
I guess
it does help having three save slots because you can always save and then go out and explore and then find what you're supposed to be doing. And then go back to that save point and then just go directly there. So, oh,
but that's lame. Why are we doing this?
It is.
It's 2010. Why are we doing this?
I don't know. And it's still,
it's stupid.
It still kind of controls kind of clunky still. Like you have to do just a slight bit of platforming and it just kind of feels awkward.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, for $5, it sounds like you can't go wrong, but maybe.
Oh no, for $5, it's great.
It's great. Okay. Very good. Excellent. What else we got?
I'm still playing Dragon Age. I haven't given up.
Oh, good.
And I'm enjoying it.
Good.
My guy's like a level, what is he, a level 11 mage. He has some level 4 spells, which are pretty badass. Fills up the whole screen with, like, clouds of death. It's a good time. I highly recommend it.
Jon Snow told me he's having a great time with it. But Whipsmart Banky told me he doesn't like it.
It's definitely not a game for everybody. And there are a lot of things about the game that I, you know, it's a very much a PC game. It's a computer game. Right. And playing it on a console is weird.
Gotcha.
I know that they're changing that for Dragon Age 2. It looks like that's going to be very much a console game. So
good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check out that one.
Did either of you guys download the toy box for Crackdown 2?
You have to pay for that or no?
No, the free version.
Oh, no.
I downloaded the free version. I played that for a couple of hours over the weekend.
What does it let you do?
It lets you, you know, you could boost your stats up all the way instantly.
Oh.
You could turn enemies on and off. You could set what time of day you want it to be. You could drop cars and weapons and...
Well, that sounds fun.
It unlocks everything. It basically gives you a sandbox. And it's more fun than the actual... Yeah, it's a god mode. And it's more fun than actually playing the game.
Cool.
And I found myself just wasting like 2 hours literally just... Did you know that when your jump or whatever agility is leveled up all the way, your guy can fly? Like he has jet
pack? You get a glider.
No, jet boots.
Well, they just added that, I think.
Is that new, the jet boots?
Yeah, I think that's part of this DLC.
The jet boots are pretty nifty. I like the jet boots. You don't need a car anymore. You just fly to the top of a building.
Oh, that's cool. I want to get that. I'll check that
out. You really should definitely download it. A, it's free, so it's worth it for that. And you can do that co-op.
Cool.
So you and I could run around. Yeah, you and I can run around in a god mode sandbox and literally just like I made myself, gave myself most wanted at all the time. So the cops were after me and the bad guys were after me and it was nighttime. So there were zombies everywhere and it was just
chaos.
Yeah. Have you used the rubber duck grenade?
No. You know, you're supposed to do a Facebook game to do that. And I went through and I did the stupid Facebook game and I still couldn't get it.
Well, it's in the toy box, and that thing has an explosion that's gigantic.
Right.
So you just throw the rubber duck out there, and it just blows everybody up, and it actually maintains its humor more than once. So it was really...
Big explosions will do that.
It's big explosion funny. And that's basically it.
In other Microsoft news, they announced the new Kinect bundle, the Xbox 360 bundle. So that's the... That's the new 250-gigabyte version that comes with Kinect, and it's $400. So you basically save $50.
Not bad if you want to save $50 and don't have an Xbox.
Right. It's weird that they let you save $50.
And that comes with a wireless controller, a regular standard controller also, or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume so. It's the 250-gigabyte system, so they're not going to give you the, you know. Oh, wait. Oh. Oh, no. There's no controller or headset.
Ta-da.
What? They're selling the 360 without a controller?
How could that be? I got to look this up right now. Let's see. Kinect. I'm going to look it up on Amazon. Kinect 360. Here it is. Oh, no. That's the other. Oh, I don't know. I can't find it. I don't know. Well, it says on Kotaku. That's what somebody wrote in the comments. I don't know.
Because that's the rumor, is that it doesn't come with a controller. It only comes with the Kinect.
250. Oh, here it is. 250-gigabyte Kinect. Okay, here's the picture. It's not working. No, it says headset. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. It says black wireless controller and headset. And it comes with Kinect Adventures and Kinect and the 250-gigabyte console.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Good. Good to know. There it is. I'm looking at the 4 gigabyte version right there.
Yeah. Yep. $399.99. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else we got here? My computer. Oh, I know this is sort of interesting. The guy who runs up the Microsoft gaming division was hired by Amazon. So I guess Amazon's going to be working on some sort of Steam competitor. I'm guessing.
It would be smart for them too, I think, you know.
Of course. Yeah. It goes in line with their whole, what do you call that thing? The long tail. Their whole long tail plan. All right. Anything from Nintendo?
I bought a new Wii.
Yay. Why'd you buy a new Wii?
Because my old Wii sounded really loud to the point where I had to turn up the TV to uncomfortable levels to drown it out.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, the disc drive on mine, apparently it's starting to get reported fairly frequently, but the disc drive is really, really loud. And we also wanted the black one, so yeah, there's that.
Right.
But I also needed I got a Nyko Wand Plus in for review, and I didn't have any Wii Motion Plus games to use with it.
Oh, okay.
So I needed to get a Wii Motion Plus to compare it against anyways. So we're liking that so far. The Nyko Wand Plus, from what I played with it, I really like it. Like it, what it is it's the Wiimote and Wii Motion Plus all in the form factor of just a standard Wiimote.
Well, that's cool.
So you don't have to have that huge like dongle and the rubber thing, the sleeve.
I have a huge dongle.
Uh-huh. Well, this cuts 2 inches off your huge dongle.
I don't, sorry.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It feels nice. It's made out of the same, like, matte rubber that those Raven controllers that we played with at E3 were made out of.
Right.
So, I like it so far. I'll have a review up for it sometime soon. And Gretchen and I played Disney Guilty Party on the Wii.
Now, I really like this game at E3, so...
Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's the game that's kind of like Clue. And I remembered what else it was like. It's kind of like Carmen Sandiego as well, because you have to get all the clues of the characteristics of what the criminal looks like. And that's how you determine who it is. So the only thing, like, it's got a really good presentation. It's fun to play and work through the clues. And it takes about maybe a half hour or so to get through each mission. And then once you've done a mission once, then it randomizes and it can be a different person each time. So that's good. But some of the mini games just aren't very responsive. And I know Gretchen got to the point where she said, I really like this game, but I wish it wasn't on the Wii. So it does have that. Like, it's the same kind of just kind of jankiness that a lot of the Wii mini games have, but it's still fun.
Very cool. All right, so let's move on to iPhone, Mac. They came out with the Game Center thing for iPhone, iPod, their Xbox Live thing, I guess, without the voice chat.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it doesn't work on iPhone 3G.
No, it does not.
3GS and up only. I now have more friends on Game Center than I do on Xbox Live. I guess there's no limits. I have 125 friends. But there weren't... Oh, I guess now the games are starting to get updated that use Game Center. So actually, I haven't used it yet because there weren't any games that use it. But I see Flight Control is now on it and some other ones. World Series of Poker. Anyway, so we're getting there. The mobile phones coming. iPhone's coming for you, world. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
That was some good reporting.
Yeah,
right,
good
there.
Good job.
That.
And you make fun of me.
Well, I couldn't. There's nothing I could do because there were no games available for it. And while we were doing the show, they got the games out. Let's see here. Show us your tweets and keg bag. I forgot to put the tweets down on the list here. But let's see what we got. Wow, it's already late. But we'll do some of these here. Dr. Trey says, I think you guys missed the publisher's beef in the used game controversy. If you sell 50 new games and then 50 people buy those games used, there were 100 sales, but the publishers only get a cut on the original 50. Yeah, we got it. It's not that high concept of an idea there.
You know, this is this is another point that other people brought up. They go, it was that, you know, maybe developers and publishers are aware that there are used game sales, and the quote unquote loss from used game sales is built into new game sale prices.
Maybe.
Maybe we don't know that. Maybe games don't really need to be $60. Maybe they really only need to be $50. But that extra $10 is to soften the blow from used game sales.
Well, it's just that every game comes out at a $60 price point when it probably shouldn't. I mean, right. Some games do need to be $60 to try to recoup how much it costs to make them. I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, we understand how it works. Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and you know, there's only one way to get rid of used game sales, and that's to drop the price of the new games. Sine wave, or go digital distribution only, but I don't think that's going to happen. Sine wave, Wombat, this question for you. I guess he asked you a question about Xbox Live. He says, Wombat, my Xbox Live question didn't make you as nearly as upset as I'm sure my next question will. What are your thoughts about LucasArts' recent round of layoffs just before the release of The Force Unleashed 2, the same thing they did before they released the first one? This is the dick move of dick moves. I think anyone who applies for work at LucasArts better think twice about sending in their resume.
It is pretty funny that they did this twice. And like last time, I'm pretty sure the CEO quit like 2 months ago. Just like last time, the CEO quit right before they laid everyone off.
The CEO of the developer?
Of LucasArts, yeah.
Of LucasArts?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think, because I think he, yeah, I think he resigned. The last one resigned in like July or something. If I read that correctly.
I mean, some of this is just business sense.
Yeah, though, a lot of, it's not unusual.
You build up your team.
I think you build up a team before a game comes out, and then you know, when the game is finished, they move on. They're contract players. They're not necessarily staff, I guess is the theory. I guess a lot of it comes down to, though, it goes back to that used game versus new game sales. All these people that worked on this game that no longer work there, do they see any of the royalties, or are they screwed? So who are you supporting?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Let's see. Dante Calypso says, since Microsoft is raising the price of Xbox Live and some game companies are also charging to play their games online, do you think gaming companies should add more features to online play, or maybe free DLC packs every now and then? It just seems that a lot of companies now are trying to squeeze as much money out of gamers now, and we haven't we been loyal? I mean, well, what kind of features can you really add to multiplayer at this point? Video
hats.
Chat?
New hats.
I like the idea of new hats.
Like in-game hats?
Yeah, new in-game hats.
Or real-life hats.
No, new in-game hats.
No, yeah. We don't want real hats.
No, right. I think you know, customization. I think Brink is the case study for that, is more customization.
For hats.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. A game is like all about new hats.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah.
Check out that video.
Yeah. New hats. That's the... All
right.
You're asking, I'm telling. New hats.
And Blue there Swim. Are DLC packs that come out for free every once in a while.
Right. Like, every once in a while.
I mean...
Yeah. Mass Effect had some, but they were kind of... Well, no, they had the tank one. That wasn't that great, though. I didn't finish the tank one yet, actually. Let's see. Blue Swim via Twitter says, Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon for the Xbox 360 is coming out. Did any of you play the original? And are you hyped up for the sequel? And there's no news about it except the confirmation. I have the original. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Talking about original as in the original 360 version?
Yes,
or the
yes.
Really old original? Okay.
No, the 360 one. I mean, that game has maybe like the best sense of scale in terms of like, you know, player versus enemies, giant-sized enemies of maybe any game out there. And that made the game awesome. It wasn't very polished, and there were a lot of... It was hard as hell, also. And it didn't have online co-op. That's what it needs. Did you guys play it?
I played it for a little while. It didn't hold my interest for very long. I liked the concept, but again, it was like the structure of it that
right
kind of ruined it for me.
It needed to be tightened up. But it was cool though. Those giant ants and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sweet. Gotta love giant ants. Anything else?
I'm just reading this story now about Jonathan Blow and the game that he had at PAX, his follow up to Brady, The Witness, and how he didn't have it. He had it at the show, but he hid it from people so they would find it naturally.
He basically, he piggybacked onto some other dude's booth, right? The Spy Party booth, I think.
Is that the one I'm looking at? Richard.
Yeah, but there was no signs or anything. Yeah. And so if you just happened to sit down and play it, then you got to play it. Otherwise, you didn't know about it. So what do you think about
that?
I think he made a market.
He's a weird.
Yeah, guy's nuts.
He's nuts. I heard a story about him that's pretty nuts. I'm not allowed to say it though. But let's just say stay away.
Is Blow not just his last name?
No. Okay. It's nothing like that. Anyway, all right. Well, that's an hour and a half show right there. I'm ready to go have my birthday lunch with Mrs. Cheapy. I think we're going to go to the Oak Door, and I'm going to get a steak sandwich.
Oh, not the Cheesecake Factory?
There's no Cheesecake Factory here.
Well, you should go to the Cheesecake Factory.
They don't have one.
You should go to the Cheesecake Factory.
The menu's huge. It's enormous.
I've been to there. I'm aware of the cheesecake. I've had a Philly cheesesteak there. It's very good.
You should
good.
Go there then.
Yeah, it's good. You should go to the Cheesecake
Factory. Fine, I'll go to the Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake Factory. Good. Some factory. I'll go to a factory.
Make sure they have cheesecake.
Right. Yeah, everything in huge portions there, too. I remember I got a Philly cheesesteak. I could only eat half of it. And I'm disgusting, and I could only eat half of it. I mean, come on.
Did you get a Philly cheesesteak there because you're confused that it wasn't the Cheesesteak Factory? Or
No. I don't know. I live in Japan, and I really cannot get a cheesesteak here. Whenever I go to America, I get stuff that I cannot eat here. And cheesesteaks are one of those things.
And Snickers cheesecake. Peanuts and cheese.
Right. I don't know if I actually had any cheesecake. But anyway, thank you everybody for listening to our show. I would like to remind you of a few things. First of all, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GPD, twitter.com/wombat5277, twitter.com/shipwreck. Ooh, I just got a birthday email from Osaka Grandma. This should be interesting. Hold on. I like her English. It's great. It's better than my Japanese. I can't make fun of her. But I will right now. That's for sure.
She didn't send you an e-card?
It says, happy birthday. It was hard raining yesterday in Tokyo. I watched on TV. Are you and your family okay? And then she wrote in Japanese. She wrote something. Tanoshi. Whoa. Tanoshi yoi hide arimasyo ni? I don't know what that means.
I think that's a curse.
Have fun. I think it means have fun. From Mama, she wrote. That was nice. Isn't that nice? Review us on iTunes. Please. We love it. It helps us out. And we'll read some of your reviews. Do you have any reviews? Did you read all these last time? Are any of these new?
I think the last one is new.
Do you care? Do you want to read it or not?
I don't have it open. If you do, you can.
Oh, I'll forget it. Well, Okay, here it goes. This is a good one, actually. Zygrich says, thoroughly entertaining news, reviews, and discussions of video games, the gaming industry, and various related topics generally targeted to a somewhat more mature audience. Really? Oh. They do try to keep it fair and relevant while still offering their personal opinions, so don't be surprised if you disagree with the direction of conversation. One big plus, GPD, Wombat, and Shipwreck regularly interact with listeners on the CAG site forums with listener feedback in every episode. I don't keep up with any other podcasts, so I can't offer any comparisons, but that's saying something in and of itself, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Also, please... register domains and get your web hosting at GoDaddy.com. 10% off any order. Use coupon code CAG10. $5 off a $30 order. Use coupon code CAG5OFF30. And $7.49 domain registrations with coupon code CAGDOMAIN at GoDaddy.com. Anything else, Wombat, that you need to plug?
Nope. You said follow me on Twitter, right?
Any special appearances you're doing this weekend?
This weekend? No. This weekend I'm alone with the baby.
Oh, okay. So everyone swing by Wombat's house. We'll be alone with the baby.
Party.
And Shipwreck?
There's sixth grade girls basketball tryouts at the junior high down the road. 11:45. Be there on time.
Excellent.
That's the only qualification for being there, being on the team, by the way. You just need to show up on time.
Sweet. All right. Well, everybody, thank you very much for listening. I don't know what's going to happen next week, but you'll be surprised now, won't you? So thanks, and see you sometime.
Bread's done.
Is ice hockey. The power is Nintendo. It's as slick as ice, as fast as fury. Throw in your shoulder, dig in your blade, blast it in, or be blown away. Ice hockey only from Nintendo. Play RC Pro-Am. Play with power. Pull up to the start. Taste the challenge. The power of radio control. If you can't take it, you'll be dust. Radio Control Pro-Am only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power.